still in this series. We just have a few lessons to go in this. Not that we have just a few lessons to go, but the few lessons the Lord wants to teach us this year in the next few weeks. There'll be more after that. Oh, we've all heard, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And I think that somebody's mother must have made that up to toughen her kid up so that they wouldn't get their feelings hurt. But we know that it's just not true. Sticks and stones, yes, they will break my bones, but words, wow, they can hurt. They can hurt. And we've all been hurt by them, and we've all hurt people by them. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So, you know, the Bible refers to the tongue, the mouth, our lips, our speech, our conversation, all of that. And all those words, of course, are interchangeable. And it's the words that we say have great potential for good or for evil. Death and life really in the power of the tongue. Now, Bill McDonald, he said, those who love to use it a lot must be prepared to take the consequences. And that is so true. Proverbs 10:19 says that in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. In other words, if you continue to talk, eventually you're going to say something that you wish you hadn't. You talk long enough, you are going to say something that is unkind or rude or slanderous or God, or whatever. We're going to sin with our mouths. But when we restrain our lips, we are wise. A person's words are the fruit of their mouth. It is a fruit of our mouth, our conversation, our speech. But more importantly, it is a fruit of our heart, because it all starts with the heart. Our speech, those words that come forth from our mouths, they are directly related to what is in our hearts. There is no getting around that. We might think the thing that we just said is just something that we just said, but it goes down deep into the heart. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus knows that out of the abundance of our hearts, that it is going to come out of our mouth. So what is in our heart is going to come out. Proverbs 27:19. And by the way, there are so many scriptures in the Bible that have to do with the tongue, the mouth, the lips, the conversation, communication, all that. I mean, just a lot of verses. And it's just good for us to read them and to know them, so the Lord can bring those to our remembrance when need be. Proverbs 27:19, it says, as in water face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. So you look in water and you're going to see the reflection of your face. So whatever's in our heart and that comes out of our mouth, it reveals. Those words reveal who we are, what's inside. And sooner or later, our heart will be revealed in the things that we say. And you've probably all heard that illustration where you have a cup and you have, you know, coffee or tea or Coke or whatever you want to put in your cup. And you're walking along, and when you hit a bump, the bump spills the contents of the cup over. Now, the bump did not put the contents in the cup, it revealed what was already in the cup. And so too with our hearts. So as we go through our day and through our week, There's bumps all the time. And when we get bumped and those words come out of our mouth, it's revealing what is inside the heart. And we may not want to know this or admit this. We just may want to say, no, that's not right. That's no, because I just said that. I don't know where that came from, kind of thing. But, Jesus said, he knows, it's not me saying it, he knows, out of the abundance of your heart, Karen, your mouth speaks. So how I respond to each bump in the road, it reveals something about what's going on in my heart at that time. Warren Wiersbe said, a godly tongue demands a godly heart because the tongue only speaks what the heart treasures. If you have your Bible, turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, of course, is just a great chapter on the tongue. The book of Proverbs is full of scriptures on the tongue also, or on our speech. So we're going to read the first 12 verses in James chapter 3. He said, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we may turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So James tells us in that verse 2, tells us that we all stumble in our words. Only a perfect man never stumbles in their words. If you want to raise your hand, if you're the perfect one, you can. Jesus is the only one who never stumbled in word because his heart was right. We all stumble in words. None of us is perfect. And he also tells us that no man can tame the tongue. So even if we decided, which maybe you did after you did your homework, if you didn't do your homework, go home and do it the next few days. It's just good stuff for us to learn and do. But maybe you decided, well, I'm just not going to talk. That'll solve it. But it doesn't, because the source is the heart. And the Lord can hear the conversation we have in our heart. So we're going to stumble in words. And we cannot tame the tongue, but the Lord can tame the tongue, because the Lord can change a heart. And he works in our hearts to change us, to shape us, to fashion us into his image. Now, I know this is not, I'm very tempted to go do this study on the heart, because that's where it all begins. They're just because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But this is not a study on the heart. We're going to do that in a few weeks. And I was sitting down and I thought, yeah, I probably should have done that one first, but it's too late now. So we're going to just look at our speech, but we're going to remember that it all comes back to the heart. And of course, I'll probably say it another half a dozen times anyway. But we will have a whole study on our hearts. James said that the tongue is a little member, but it is a fire and a world of iniquity. And we know that it only takes one little spark to set an entire forest on fire. The damage that can be done when somebody flicks a cigarette butt out the window or, you know, a match or just one little spark from a campfire. I mean, just hundreds and thousands of acres and houses and can just be burned down. Well, we know that it really can only take one harsh word, one unkind thing said, and so much damage can be done. We've all had those words said to us, and they've all come out of our mouths too. Now, it tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, and let's just turn over to Ephesians so you have your Bible open there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. I've memorized this one early on in my Christian life because I needed to, and that is, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's the first part of it. So he tells us no corrupt communication should ever come out of our mouths. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on what corrupt communication is, but we do need to look at it a little bit. Because there are a few things we just need to be reminded of. We need to be sharpened in. So we'll look at a few things, you know, speech, communication that we're not to be a part of. It's not supposed to come out of our mouths at all. More importantly, not out of our hearts, but not out of our mouths. Gossip and slander, those two are, that's corrupt communication. Now, the gossip means to spread rumors or to tell people. So spreading rumors. Now, we can all sit there and think, well, that's, I don't spread rumors. I mean, that's mean. That's gossip. I don't gossip. I do not spread rumors. But it also is to tell people the personal details of other people's lives. Oh, then perhaps maybe I've gossiped once or twice. And it also, in a malicious way. That's what gossip is. And boy, is that corrupt. And boy, does that cause a lot of damage. Slander means the act or offense of saying something false or malicious that damages somebody's reputation. So, you know, the gossip thing, we can go to extremes in that because the real sensitive Christian can be so cautious that they're afraid to say anything about anybody at any time. And so they really can't get to know many people because there's no communication, there's no conversation. But a gossiping thing would be, let's say you met somebody that you kind of know at church. Maybe you met them at the mall or something, and you bumped into them, you said, hi, how are you doing? And they said, oh, I'm doing okay, but I've been, you know, a little down or a little down. Oh, really? Well, why? Well, you know, my husband and I haven't been getting along and you know, on and on and on. Okay, that's perfectly fine. If she wants to share that, whatever. The gossip is that when we come back to our circle of friends or to other people and we say, oh, I ran into so-and-so. Nothing wrong with saying I ran into so-and-so. Oh, yeah, she's you know, been a little down, and, you know, we talked and everything was fine. It's fine. But when I say, you know, she's having problems with her husband, Oh, she is? Well, we need to pray for her. Yes, we do, because, it's bad. That's gossip. That is passing on personal information that we have no business passing on. There is not a woman in this room who hasn't done that, including me. James said if we are perfect people, then we haven't stumbled. We all stumble. We need to be aware. We need to grow. And we need to stop doing that if we're doing that. Now, slander would be, her and her husband's having an affair, and he is this and that and this and that, and I never liked him anyway, and That's slander. That turns into slander, because now you are painting this picture of this person to somebody who just didn't know it. And then that person can go repeat it. That's gossip and slander. It has to stop. It has to stop. Now, again, the sensitive Christian person can't take that and go, okay, I can't share anything. I can't go get prayer from anybody. No, that's not the context of slander and gossip. Do you see what I'm saying? So when we pass that information, we don't have any business passing that information on. They lost their house. He lost his job. They're having trouble with their children. She got an abortion. She thought she was pregnant. You know, those kind of, that is corrupt communication. It doesn't need to be shared. It doesn't need to be said. Why do we feel that we need to pass that kind of information on? We don't want gossip or slander to characterize our lives. We don't want to be a part of them. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. When we learn these scriptures, then as we are tempted or about to say whatever, the Lord can bring those to our remembrance. And then we can, stop. Or as we still are learning and growing, we can go back and say, Dana, I should not have told you that. That's a step in the right direction, because next time you're not going to, because that was really uncomfortable for me to have to go back and tell Dana that. So I don't want to do that again. So I'm not going to, what's in my heart here? Why do I feel like I have to tell people these things? Proverbs 11:13 says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. I like that verse. That's Proverbs 11:13. A talebearer reveals secrets. Revealing secrets. Sometimes people can't, I don't know what it is. They just have no discernment of what is appropriate to share and what's inappropriate to share. I mean, there's nothing wrong if I bump into, my friend and then I, find out some bit of news or whatever, and then I see Rachel and we have this friend in common. I say, oh yeah, I just saw her and she got her hair cut or whatever it might be. It's not a secret, but if she had given me any information, a prayer request or anything, and I reveal that to Rachel, I'm revealing a secret. And I don't want to do that. What has happened to you when you have told somebody something that was private, and then your other friend found out? Because this friend, I don't know how you are. I just say, I'm not going to talk to you about anything personal anymore. You can't keep it a secret. We don't want to be a talebearer revealing secrets. We want to be of a faithful spirit and conceal a matter. I like that. We're going to keep that to ourselves. And a good rule that, I have followed this rule, tried to follow this rule, not perfect, is I just want to consider everything that is shared with me as confidential. Then I don't have to worry about it. Even if I'm pregnant, or, that's wonderful news. Is that common knowledge? Do you mind if I tell my husband? Is that okay? Kind of a thing. Otherwise, you just keep it to yourself. Let somebody else share the news. Let her share the news. But be of a faithful spirit and conceal a matter. Conceal that. Proverbs 17:9 says that he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. And isn't that the truth? Don't ever, ever repeat someone's sin to somebody else. That is not our business, and that is corrupt communication. Why would I tell anybody about somebody else's affair, about somebody else's daughter getting pregnant or having an abortion or some other sin or stumbling or something like that? Why would I ever do that? Love covers it. Let it die with you. You want to be known for that woman who can keep confidence, who can keep her mouth closed. Because otherwise it is an indication of where our heart is, what's going on in our heart, of why we feel the need to have to share other people's sins with other people. Proverbs 26:20, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And when there is no talebearer, strife ceases. I've always liked that. I mean, it's just so, yes, there's no wood to put on that fire. Fire is going to go out. So if there's no talebearer, strife ceases. So much damage is done when we talk too much, when we share too much information. And some of us, we just, whatever the reason is, it's just our sinful nature, I suppose, we just have to tell one person. Just so hard to keep it to ourselves. So, if that is you, then go into the closet, close the door, and tell the Lord. If you have that, there's a character flaw there somewhere. Talk to the Lord about that. Lord, why do I feel like I have to tell somebody something? I don't. I want where there's no wood, the fire goes out, strife ceases. Is it really necessary for me to repeat this? Do I really need to tell Jane this? Is it any of her business? Is she going to help in this? Oh, but she's a prayer warrior. Yeah, but nobody gave me permission to ask her to pray. Just let it die with you. Let it die with you. I know this can be heavy and convicting. I mean, it's convicting, but it's good for us. Good for us. The other thing is foolish talking and coarse jesting. We don't really call coarse jesting that anymore. I'll tell you what it is. It's in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So this filthiness, this foolish talking and coarse jesting, it's all about our communication, our speech. So this filthiness, it means obscenities. Bill McDonald said it refers to dirty stories, suggestive jokes with sexual coloring, and all forms of obscenity and indecency. We might think, well, I don't do that. I don't do that, but it could be in the heart. You could be around it. He's saying, don't even let it be named among you. Don't even be in that. Don't even be around people who have that kind of talk coming out of their mouths. And now, the way this world has gone, it's just getting so, so bad. There's even dirty language in the pulpit at times, in certain circles, because they think it's cool, to relate to the kids, to use this language. It's filthiness. Foolish talking means in the sense of the lack of forethought and wisdom. It's godless talk. It's talk in which is both foolish and sinful. It's more than just random or idle talk. We all do a lot of random and idle talking, especially as women, because we know that we have a lot more words each day that we have to get out, And so, you know, you can be sitting with friends and you can talk for an hour and you just, it's just silly. You know, it's just got nothing to do with anything, and but there was nothing wrong with it. That's not what we're talking about. That's not the foolish talking. The foolish talking is, it really is, it's a lack of wisdom of what I'm going to talk about, where that conversation's going. That before you know it, you're just talking, saying things that you shouldn't say. Of course, jesting. It means jokes or talk with unsavory, hidden meanings. It can be a sly question, a smart answer, a quirkish reason, a shrewd intonation, or sarcasm. And that should not be a part of our lives. Those little innuendos, those little hidden meanings, that little asking a question that the answer, maybe the question is fine, but the answer is not appropriate. But it's in our heart, and so we ask the question. Or the sarcasm that we can get our dig in, but we make light of it and make it funny because it's a little sarcastic type of thing. No, it shouldn't even be fitting among us. It just should not be there at all. So if we do find that these kind of things are slipping out of our mouth, we need to check our heart and say, Lord, what am I watching? What am I putting in? I had a friend who used to have a big button, garbage in, garbage out. It's so true. You know, what am I letting him into my mind? What am I watching, listening to, reading? Because if I'm watching, listening to, and reading a bunch of gossip and slander and filthy talking and obscenities and coarse jesting and all that, it just becomes common. And I'm not aware of it. And then it slips out of my mouth. So we need to be careful. Okay, enough of that. We all know no corrupt communication out of our mouth. And you know what? We don't purposely do it. Today I'm going to give some corrupt communication to you. You know, we don't do that because we don't really want to. You know, that's not really the attitude of our heart, although there's little places in there. But we do slip, we do stumble. So again, if we find ourselves doing that, we do need to get a checkup from the Lord. So we know that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, it all goes back to the heart. Proverbs 16:23 tells us that the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. I like that too. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. The right heart is going to teach its mouth, because what's in the heart is going to come out of the mouth. So when the heart is right, it's training the tongue to speak what is right. Proverbs 21:23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Isn't that the truth? And we usually learn that that's the truth after we didn't guard our heart and our tongue and our mouth and kind of a thing. It's also important for us to know how to speak and when to speak. And I think the when to speak is, that's a biggie. And that's something I think we're all growing in and we all need to grow in. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. I've always liked that. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. You know, some of us, our minds just work really quick. And so we can give an answer. We can give a comeback. We can do that. That's not safe. You know, the heart of the righteous, they study how. Now, I hear what you're saying, whatever the question or the conversation or whatever. Now, how am I going to answer this? How am I going to give an answer that is going to be kind and loving and gracious and all those things? And to really stop and think before we speak, but more importantly, to be in the habit of talking to the Lord before we speak. And if we train ourselves that way, when we're fine, then in the heat of an argument or when those bumps come, we'll be in that habit to say, okay, Lord, how am I supposed to respond to this? What do you want me to say about this? You know, that kind of a thing, instead of it just, you know, just spewing forth. But studying how to answer is, number one, be a good listener. If we're not good listeners, we're not going to be good speakers. Because we're going to be answering before we hear the whole thing. Or we're going to be interrupting our friends all the time. But we need to learn to just be a good listener. And then to be sensitive, again, to the Holy Spirit. And what would He have me to say? How would He have me to speak into this situation? And into that comment that person made? Or when somebody's just gossiped to me. Lord, how do I respond to that? Proverbs 15:23, it says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. And, you know, once in a while, we can walk away from a conversation and go, yes, I said a right thing. I gave a good word. It was a word in due season, and it really rejoices your heart. Giving a good word at the right time, oh, there's nothing like that. I mean, that's how we want to use this tongue, this mouth. That's how we want to use it for the Lord, is to giving that good and that right answer at the right time. So what other ways should our speech or our words consist of? Back in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And then in Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So just those two little verses tell us so much. We're not to let corrupt things come out of our mouth, so what are we supposed to let come out of our mouth? What is good for necessary edification? And edification is necessary for everyone. And for everybody in the body of Christ to be built up. I need to be built up. You need to be built up. We don't want to walk away from a conversation, you know, with your shoulders down. It's like, wow, I was in a good mood before that one, you know. We want to walk away from a conversation strengthened in our faith and built up and encouraged and have joy and hope in our lives. So that edifying. So those words that come out of our mouth, we need to make sure that they're edifying. That they're building up the person who's listening to us. That it is making the person stronger than they were before we had the conversation. That we have given them hope. We've given them encouragement, and we've given them the word, and we've given them maybe it's just some simple how to get through this time or whatever it might be. Edifying, it means to build up, to be an encourager, not flattery. You know, flattery is usually not sincere, and it's usually given to get something back. You know, when we give those flattering compliments, it usually there's a motive involved. So we're not talking about flattery, but encouragement. And everybody, again, they need to be encouraged. So what a great goal for each day. Lord, I want to be an encourager today. So I want the words that come out of my mouth to encourage everyone that I talk to. So to practice giving that encouragement and for looking for that good. And we were talking beforehand and Jennifer had mentioned something she had read and somebody went on a criticism fast for the day. And I thought, you know, that would probably be a good thing. I don't know if you could make it through a whole day, but, you know, or whatever part of our speech that we're stumbling in. It's like, okay, tomorrow I'm fasting. I am not saying anything negative or critical or I'm not, you know, or whatever it might be with, you know, or gossip or, you know, whatever it might be. And just come back next week and tell us how long you got, you know. Did you get a whole day? But to be an encourager. You know, there's some people that you get around and it's like, I just like being around them because I always am encouraged. And they don't know that they're doing it. They're not saying, Karen, blah, 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 and building me up. That's not what they're doing. But they are talking about the Lord or they're sharing His faithfulness or they're saying something like that. That's encouraging. That gives me hope. You know, you just love to be, I want to be a person like that. I want to be around people like that, but I want to be a person like that. The other thing it tells us in Ephesians is that we are to speak with gracious words and to minister grace to the hearer. And those are sweet, kind, courteous, and humble words. Not a haughty person coming in, interrupting all the time to get, oh, I got to say because I got something really good to say. Mm-mm. Ministering grace. Let them talk and be courteous, be humble, and then give kind and gracious words. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. Maybe that's what we need to practice tomorrow. Is just giving a soft answer every bump that hits us. It's a soft answer, a gracious word. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. That's what we want to give out. It's like bringing somebody a bouquet of flowers or bringing them their favorite dessert. You know, we want those words out of our mouth to be pleasant, to be gracious. And then the verse in Colossians, it says, seasoned with salt. We are to be salty also. So it's not this, you know, gooey little, you know, Snow White or somebody, you know, that's just not a good example at all. It's just absolutely nothing comes to me at times like this. But we're to be salty also in two ways in our conversation. Salt preserves from corruption. You know, you rub salt on meat and those kind of things. It preserves it. So we are to have salty speech where we are preserving corruption. So when we are in a conversation, we can prevent it from decaying by turning it in a different direction or giving the person a different outlook or, you know, those kind of things that we are there to preserve. We are not going to be a part of this. We are going to be salt in this conversation. And it also adds flavor. And our conversation, our speech, it needs to add flavor spiritually. And we can keep the conversation on the things that matter and on the heavenly things and the eternal things. You know, if you find yourself with maybe some friends or acquaintances or whatever, and the conversation always goes over here to money, always goes over here to shopping, always goes over here to the new facial products, always goes over here to weight loss or, you know, all those things that women talk about. But if it's always going over there, be salty and bring some flavor into that and pull it back to a meaningful and worthwhile conversation, at the same time being gracious and being and building up. So there's a few prayers. Now, I passed out that yellow sheet as you walked in. And some of these are on, or maybe I think all of them are on there. But some daily prayers. And that's why I wrote them out for you. You can stick them in your Bible. You can use them throughout the week or the rest of your life to use as prayers. Psalm 141:3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth and keep a watch over the door of my lips. I use that to pray quite often. And when I go into certain situations and I'm going to be around certain people that maybe don't know the Lord, or that it's just, there's just some things that are unsettling there. Lord, will you please guard my heart and my mouth, and you know, you tame my tongue. Psalm 34:13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Lord, help me to keep my tongue from speaking evil. And Psalm 19:14, which probably most of us use this as a prayer, but let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, I honestly pray that almost every morning. Can't say every morning, but almost every morning, Lord. Let help me that my words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be pleasing to you today. Because I know it always isn't. Psalm 51:15, O Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall show forth your praise. Oh, that's what I want coming out of my mouth. His praise. To glorify him. In Psalm 71:8, let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. I don't want my mouth to be filled with all these other things that just don't matter or that are going to hurt somebody. I want my mouth to be filled with praise from the Lord. And if my heart is in the right place, my heart's filled with those things, it's going to come forth from my mouth all the day long. Psalm 17:3, I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. And maybe that's something that we need to do tonight. Say, okay, that's enough of me, Lord. I am a purpose in my heart. And I'm not going to sin with my mouth. And I know that no man can tame the tongue, but Lord, you can. So help me in this. Psalm 89:1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, and with my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. No man can tame the tongue, but God can. And he is working in our hearts and in our lives. And as we draw near to him, he draws near to us. And as we surrender more and more to him, then he's able to work in our lives. We're saying, Lord, I need help. I you know this problem that I have, this tongue that I have that it's coming from my heart. Lord, work in me. And he does to make us more like him. And when our hearts are more like his, then the things that come out of our mouths will be more like him and what he says. And it would be pleasing to him. And I want to close. Just give us a couple of minutes to use your paper there with those scriptures. Take one or two or however many that you need, and just let's just spend a minute and just pray to the Lord. And if we need to repent, then repent. But Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, be pleasing to you, honoring and glorifying you. And Lord, that is our prayer. And I just pray that you would speak to our hearts now, Lord, as we quiet them before you.